And as we start this holiday season, this Christmas season, remembering the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be talking about worship for this whole month. And what does it mean to worship? I want to start off with saying, there is no baby today, right? The manger is empty because Jesus, he grew up, right? He died, he rose again for us, and he's alive forevermore, and he lives inside of us by the power of the Spirit. Holy Spirit lives inside of us. However, we are still called to worship. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I want to talk to us this month about the birth of our Savior, but specifically through the lens of worship. What does it mean to worship? And here's our verse, our main verse. Turn with me to Matthew 2, verse 2 here. Matthew 2, 2. And if you've been around church, or if you've been in church, or at Christmas season, you've probably heard this passage of Scripture before. And these were the wise men. Remember, they came to worship Jesus. And they said, Matthew 2, 2, they said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And so this whole month, I want to talk to you about come to worship, about what does it mean to still worship God and put him first in your life. And maybe this, and we're going to talk about four different aspects during this month. And so maybe one of these will kind of prick your heart or your mind, your soul, and realize, yeah, maybe I'm strong in this area, but maybe over here, I need to worship God more with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, what's interesting, let's look at this verse here, Matthew 2, 2, as we start off here. What's interesting in this verse is that they didn't say, "Hey, where's Jesus? We came for him to worship us." Or, "Where's Jesus? We're going to come to him, and he needs to give us some money." Or, "Where's Jesus? We're going to come to him, and he needs to give us the power to take over the Roman government." What did they say in this verse? It's very clear. They said, "Where's Jesus? We have come to worship him." The wise men or the magi, they came not for what God could do for them, but what they could do for Jesus. And they wanted to worship Jesus and honor him and present their lives to him. Now, they brought gifts. We know from the Scripture, right? They brought gifts. But the goal wasn't on the gifts. The focus wasn't on the gifts. The focus was acknowledging the Messiah, worshiping baby Jesus, and looking into the hope of redemption, looking into that little baby, and knowing, as we read in the opening of the service, the Isaiah 61 passage, that Jesus came to bring hope to the captives, that he came to set us free, and that Jesus was going to fulfill the ancient prophecies of talking about how we were going to be set free from chains and of darkness and sin, and that we were going to have a greater life. And so that's really what this focus is that about worship, about what can we bring to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, sometimes in Western Christianity, and sometimes even in European Christianity in the last couple hundred years, we have put ourselves at the center of everything. Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever put yourself at the center of everything? Have you ever been there? Right? Or maybe if you have a parent, you probably have kids that have put themselves at the center of everything, right? It's all about me, me, me. And sometimes in Christianity, there is that pull to put ourselves in the center of everything, and that God is here to serve me. God is almost like a cosmic Coke machine. Or a vending machine. You go up and you tell God, "Okay, I'm going to put in a dollar, and God, I need this right now today." Or I come up and I press this button on this vending machine, and I'm going to get exactly what I want. And we all know that God does what he pleases. He's a good father. He's faithful to give us good gifts. However, he has a higher calling, sometimes a higher purpose for us. And in this message series, I want to talk to us about not putting ourselves in the center and making God at our pleasure. God's at our feet, doing what we have to say, but we come to him and we bow our knees, we lift our hearts, we lift our hands, and we worship him. And in this season, when we can get maybe sometimes pulled into thinking, "Oh, Christmas is about me. It's about what gifts do I have and what nice decorations and lights do I have, and is it all about this?" I want to remind us that we have come to worship the Savior, and we have come to bow down. We sing it today, "Come, let us bow down, and let us worship the high and holy King." And that's what I want to talk to us in this series about. And specifically in these four ways, there's four postures of worship I want to talk about in our series. It's today we're going to talk about lifting your hands and then pouring out your heart, bowed knees, and bring gifts. And we're going to talk about these 4 weeks. We're going to go through all of these and talk about what does it look like to lift your hands and to pour out your heart, and what does it look like to bow our knee and to bring a gift before Jesus, you know? And what does that look like for you and I in our times of as we walk with the Lord in our day-to-day activities? But with that, let's jump in here. And today I want to talk about lifting your hands. Lift your hands. As it says there, Matthew 2:2, it says they came and they come to worship. And they came to lift their hands. Now, when someone says lift your hands, what do you think? What comes to your mind? I mean, what comes to your mind? Is it a police officer telling you, hands up? Or maybe you're at a football game, right? And Nebraska finally scores a touchdown. And you lift your hands, you're like, woohoo! Or maybe the Vikings or the Packers, whatever your football team is, right? Someone scores, or maybe your favorite team makes a basketball. You lift your hands, you're like, yeah, you congratulate. They score a goal in soccer. And you're like, yeah, you lift your hands, woo, right? Sometimes we do that. We also have, have you ever met some fishermen? I know we have some fishermen in the room. And the fishermen, they always come back, man, my fish was this big that I caught, right? Right? Or someone sees an animal or a mouse sometimes, they're like, oh, the mouse was like this, but really it was, like this. Sometimes we lift our hands to tell things, express things. Or some of us, if you're a parent, you ever had that child that was like, you had that little kid or grandchild, you lifted them up like Mufasa and the Lion King, lifted up baby Simba, and they're like, you hold your child up and you play and you laugh, you dance, right? We lift our hands up for certain reasons in our life. Or sometimes, we lift our hands to give a high five, or we lift a hand up to wave and say, hello, friend, when we're passing somebody in the supermarket or out on the road. Or if we're playing basketball, most of the time I was always short, and someone would put their hand up and block my shot most of the time in basketball because I was short. So we lift our hands a lot in life, right? We lift our hands to wave, to worship, to do different things in life. And so I bring that out because lifting our hands is actually very familiar in Scripture. It's all rooted throughout the Scripture. And so if you got your Bibles here, let's look at some scriptures here. They'll be on your screen. But turn with me to Psalms 24:4. Psalms 24:4. We're going to be going through the book of Psalms here. Quite a few of them are in Psalms here. There we go. The first one's in Psalms 24:4. King David writes, he says, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. And I start here because when we lift our hands up, we have to think first and foremost, are our hands clean or dirty? Have you ever had dirty hands and you lifted up something? I know, like, I like to work on things. Sometimes when I work on things and my hands are all dirty, dripping with grease or oil, sometimes you lift your hands up, what happens? It runs down, right? Or if you have something in your hand that's dirty, it runs down your arm and contaminates the rest of your arm, or gets on your nice new shirt, especially if you're eating something like barbecues, you lift up your sandwich and that barbecue sauce gets on your shirt and your arm, you're like, oh no. But as we begin to worship Jesus and begin to come before him, we have to think, are our hands clean? It didn't say perfect. It just said, are we pursuing God? Are we coming before him saying, Lord, I've sinned. I need to repent. God, I need you. Are we lifting up hands that are clean? And King David begins to write when Psalm 24 is talking about, are our hands clean? Are they worshiping other things? Are our hands being lifted up to other idols, things that are not the true and eternal God, things that are going to pass away? And so I want to start there as we begin the series talking about, are your hands clean when we lift them up to worship God? Turn with me over to Psalm 63 here. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4. All right. It'll be here on your screen as well. The psalmist writes, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Scripture reminds us here in Psalm 63 that when we seek God, man, we probably overwhelmingly, we're just gratitude, we're thankful. When we pursue something that's right and holy, we have, a lot of times our souls just have no other kind of recourse than to lift our hands and to praise him and give him glory. Turn with me over to Psalms 134, verse 2. 134, verse 2. And it'll be on your screen here as well. Oops, let me go back one. Oh, it's not on here. Okay. The Psalms 134, 2 says, it says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Psalms 134, 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. When we gather together, when we gather together as a body of Christ, the family, we need to lift our hands up and praise him. Psalms 28, 2 here on the screen. Let's turn over to Psalms 28, 2. And it's already here on your screen. It says, hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards the most holy place. Are you seeing a familiar picture? When we cry out to God, when we call on his name, when we gather to worship, we're called upon to lift our hands and to raise our hands to him. Now, it's not about being legalistic or about being, You have to always lift your hands, right? Can you praise God and call to his name with your hands down? The answer is yes, we can. However, there's something when we lift our hands, when we lift our hands and say, God, I need you. God, I call on your name, that God inhabits his call, our calls for mercy and grace. In Psalms 134, there it is, for two, it says, lift up your hands in sanctuary and praise his name. Now turn with me over to the New Testament, Luke 24:50. And I'm bringing these different scriptures. I want to show us that there's a familiar theme here, all through scripture, about the people of God lifting their hands to praise Jesus. In Luke 24:50, the writer writes here, Luke, he writes, he says, when they had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. This is Jesus. When Jesus led some of the people outside of the city walls of Jerusalem down to the town of Bethany, he says that he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Jesus lifted his hand a lot of times in the New Testament to bless people, to give them blessing. This was a common amongst the Jewish people, to give a blessing. And so when we lift our hands, we can praise God and we can bless people. We can encourage people. Have you ever had that? Someone come up to you and they lift their hands and put their arm around you, or someone come up to you and say, hey, man, you did a great job, or point to you and say, you did a great job. Lifting our hands can bless and praise people. Now, let me ask you this. What has been your experience with lifting your hands? When have you had to lift your hands and cry out to God in a time of need? Think about that for a moment. When was a time in your life when life wasn't going well for you? When was life hard? When was it was you were struggling? Maybe you didn't have a lot of money. Maybe you're looking for a job. What was that like? What did you do? What did you do in that time? Did you cry out to the Lord? Did you lift your hands? Did you seek him? I remember a few years ago, before I became the pastor here, I remember I was working at my job, and they had a gym there. And I remember on my breaks and early in the morning, I would go into the gym there, and the gym had a divider, and I'd go on the side where nobody can see. And I remember I'd walk in the gym there and just lift my hand and say, Lord, I need you. What's going on with my life? Where's my life going? Everybody ever been there? You have those seasons of your life, and you're like, God, you know, yeah, you are great, and you've blessed me, but Lord, for that future, I don't know what that future is going to hold. I remember walking laps in that gym, lifting my hands and praying, saying, God, I need you. I call upon your name. Lord, I'm lost without you. Please hear my cry for mercy and help. Like, help me with this job. Help me provide, funding to help take care of my family and to have a home and all that. But when we lift our hands and we start praying, when we lift our hands and worship Jesus, what happens? I would submit to us that there's an inward of gratitude, an inswelling of gratitude that begins to happen. That we start walking and praying, or we just come, and even here today, we lift our hands and we worship. When we lift our hands, we're acknowledging, God, we surrender to you. God, we need you. God, I praise the one who is eternal. And in that, there becomes a sense of salvation and gratitude that begins to build in us. I would say this. How many of you have ever been ungrateful with your hands lifted up before? When you're praising God, how many of you can you lift your hand and say, God, you're so great, and in the same breath, God, I don't trust you. God, you're not good. God, I don't know if you're gonna provide for me. We can't. When we lift our hands, there's something that comes out of it. When we lift our hands and when we pray and trust in him, God inhabits us and he reminds us of his promises. Now I want to go a little further on here in the New Testament. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me get there myself. There we go. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul was given instructions to the young church. He was talking to Timothy, the young pastor, and he talks here about, once again, he talks about lifting up holy hands here. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul is talking to Christians in general about worship. When we gather together, what is it like to worship? But also, here, he's specifically talking to the men. And this word here, when he says here, he says, therefore, I want the men... In the original language, it's specifically talking to men specifically. However, we know that overall, right, men and women, we're called to raise our hands and worship God, and right, and scripture is applicable to all people. However, it's interesting here, he talks to men and he says, Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Have you ever lifted your hands up out of anger or to fight someone? Or you raised your hand up and shook your fist at someone? That's natural in our flesh. I've done that. I remember my brother and I was telling my kids a few weeks ago, when I was in high school, my brother and I, man, we'd get in fights and punch each other, throw things at each other, lift our hands to fight each other out of anger. But here Paul talks about when we've encountered Jesus, We either lift our hands, as men, lift our hands in holiness and worship him and praise him. Or lift our hands, too, to one another and say, hey, man, bless you, Peter. Bless you, Mark. Bless you, Ron. Bless you, Jason, you know? Raise our hands and say, hey, you know, I'm so thankful for you. You ever had that? We're not supposed to raise our hands and say, I hate you. I wish you weren't here today. Oh, I hope you die. No. That's not what the kingdom is. But Paul here writes to him and he says, hey, encourage the men to raise their hands. Now, sometimes for men, I'll speak to the men here. Sometimes as men, right? Sometimes guys, we come in, we're just like, you know, we're stoic, right? Right? We don't need to lift our hands. We don't need to sing, right? We keep it right here, right? However, that's, I don't think by Scripture. Scripture teaches us from the Old to the New Testament that we are to raise our hands and be joyful. Now, we know that God has made men and women different. We have different thoughts, right? We all know that. Different physical bodies. And we respond different to the spirit in us. However, at some point, men, we can't have excuses. We can't say, well, worship is too dramatic, or worship is too emotional, or it's just, you know, I don't like lifting my hands. I like keeping it right here. I just like sitting around. At some point, I encourage you, men, we're to lift our hands, holy hands, and raise your hands. Now, you don't have to be like me. You don't have to be like someone next to you, right? Some of us, right, you've seen all different types of worship. Sometimes, you know, we like to worship like this. We call it carrying the big TV, right? We carry a TV out. Or carrying a hot pan. Some people go like this. Some guys lift the one hand. I call it the high five of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you. High five to Jesus, right? There's different ways we can lift our hands, and each of us are unique in the ways we worship Jesus, right? Some of us like to bounce and raise our hands, right? Some of us like to sway. Whatever it is, lift your hands and worship, men. And you too, women, lift your hand. Lift up holy hands without anger and worship God, right? There's times in my life or times when personal prayer, man, like the Quakers would sit. The early American Quakers in America, they would sit with palms up like this in worship. That's what they would do, right? Sometimes in the Pentecostal, man, we like to clap and wave our hands and shout and do the whole, you know, go Jesus, right? Lift our hands. That's okay. Come on. Let's worship him. But I would encourage us men that your grandkids, your granddaughters, your grandsons, your coworkers need to see you lifting your hands. Your wives, other young men in this building need to see you lifting your hands and worship. Now, I would encourage everyone here as worship. You might, it's just always, right, a baby takes one step at a time. And maybe if you don't lift your hands, maybe you're uncomfortable, maybe you can just start right here, right? You can start kind of low, right? Start down here, right? Do a baby worship hands right here. And then maybe you can start kind of go up, and maybe you just get one. Whatever it is, worship God. Lift up holy hands, because this is a command from God through the Apostle Paul to the church. This is not my command or the Summons of God command. This is the Word of God saying we are lift up our hands and worship him. And so why do we need to worship? Why do we need to lift our hands? So why do we lift our hands? I want to think about this. Think about this. And look at this verse here, James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I want to say first that God, he wants to meet you. He wants to meet you. All right? And here's what I mean. Think about this. Many of us in this room are parents. Many of us have had a younger sibling. Have you ever had, as a parent or maybe you had a younger sibling, when they would walk to you, they were learning to walk, what would they do? They would come to you and they would raise their hands. Now, how many of you as a parent, your child came to you with raised hands and you said, oh, you pushed them away? Well, what do we do as a good mom or dad? You'd scoop them up, right? Maybe they came to you crying, or maybe they came to you excited, or maybe you had a younger sibling, you would pick them up, right? When we lift our hands up to God and say, God, I need you. I worship you. God, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. What happens? God doesn't say, oh, I see your hands up. Oh, that's my child. Forget you. I'm too busy. What does God do? He will draw near to you. When we come to him, when we lift our hands, he draws near to us. Secondly, God loves that. When we lift our hands, Scripture's all resplendent with examples. When we lift our hands, God listens to the prayers and the cries of his people. And God won't reject us when we have clean hands and with hands that are worshiping and seeking him. God will not push us away, because the Scripture here, this promise of James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It doesn't say he might, he maybe if he has time, or maybe if he has you on your calendar, or maybe this and that. He says if we just draw near to him and we lift our hands and come to our Heavenly Father, he will meet us and pick us up in that time of need. So why lift our hands? Look at Psalms 141 here. 141 verses 1 through 2. This is really an offering of praise. The psalmist writes, O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, I bring this verse up because in the Old Testament, we have to remember, in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices in the morning and at noon, in the evening, every day until Jesus came and paid the ultimate price, and he was our ultimate sacrifice. And then that ended. However, Scripture reminds us that as we praise and seek him, as we lift our hands, it's supposed to be continual. This verse was reminding the people of Israel to continually lift up your voices, lift up your hands as the evening sacrifices. They did that. They had to do that every night, create a fire and offer a sacrifice. And we, you and I, as we praise the Lord, as we call upon his name, we are daily are called to lift up our hands continually, not just one time, not just, oh God, I'm without a job and I need my car fixed, I need money for insurance, I'm going to raise and praise you. And then once I get all that, I can go on because, God, you took care of me, so I don't need you. No, it's every day, whether we have plenty or whether we're not, whether we're struggling, we are called to praise him. And how often is it harder in those times of struggle, in those times when we're going through some hard things in our life, that we need to lift our hands and praise him, even when you don't feel like it? I can only imagine how many of those priests, right? We all have jobs, right? They left their homes, and they got to fix the roof. They got to get some meal, right? Get some food. They got to go by the market. But they had to go and create a fire, get the wood, go get the sacrifice, bring the sacrifice in, prepare it properly, offer the sacrifice, clean up, go back home, take care of the kids, talk to their spouse, right? They were real men and women like us. They had real family obligations. They had lives too. But it was the continuing offering of the sacrifice and lifting up their hands. And that's what you and I are today. In this time of Jesus' coming, during this time, this Christmas season, we need to remember that we are to constantly be worshiping and praising him in all things. And so why do we lift our hands? Let me end with this. We lift our hands because it's worship unto God. It's worship unto God. Secondly, it's reaching out to God. When we lift our hands, we're saying, God, I need you. God, I can't do this on my own. God, I'm not powerful enough. We reach out to him. Third, it's an offering of praise. When we lift our hands, it's often saying, God, you know, I don't feel like it. I might be tired. I've had a long week, right? Or whatever you come into this building today with. And we lift our hands and say, God, I'm offering an offering of praise to you. I'm giving you this praise. I'm going to lift my hands. And then lastly, it's battle here. And let me end with this. And turn with me to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. I want to end on this story about worship is battle. And when we worship, we will see God do a mighty victory in our life. Exodus 17, verses 10 through 11. It's going to be on your screen. If you remember this passage, if you don't, it's okay. Remember, Moses told Joshua to go out and fight the Amalekites. God had told the nation of Israel to wipe out the Amalekites and the other nations around there because they had turned their back on God. God had given them a chance to repent and showed them his power and might, and God said, wipe them out. And so Moses told Joshua to go out, choose some men, and go out to battle and fight these people. And here in Exodus 17, verses 10 through 11, it says this. It says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. If you remember the story, Moses would lift up his hands, and after a while, could you only imagine, we all get tired from lifting our hands. But I want to end on this today, that we need one another to help lift up one another's hands in this building. As Scripture says, we are to carry one another's building, so each one of us are to help encourage one another and lift up one another's hands. When we get tired, when we come into church today, and you know, Jason comes in, Jason says, oh, I've had a long week. I don't feel like worshiping Jesus. I'm going to come alongside my brother and say, hey, man, you know, Jason, God's faithful. Let's worship together. I'm going to encourage him, fan him, kind of that Scripture says, fan into flames. I say, Jason, hey, don't give up yet. Keep worshiping. Man, I know you're tired. I know, you know, you had a long week with the girls or work was chaotic, but hey, man, offer up a sacrifice of praise to Jesus. Come on, sing with all your might. He's been good to you and your family, you and Missy. Man, God's blessed you guys. Does that make sense? And Moses is telling Joshua the same thing here. Now, when we start lowering our hands, when we start not helping one another, what happens? We lose the battle. We lose the spiritual battle, and the enemy picks us off one by one. We stop coming together, gathering as the body of Christ. We stop serving. We stop giving of our time, talent, and treasure. And slowly we walk away from God, and the enemy deceives us and he lies to us. However, in the next two verses, in 12 and 13, Aaron and Hur knew what to do to help the Israelites win and knew how to help Moses. It says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And I want to remind us of this. Sometimes we come into this place heavy, long weeks, or tired. Maybe we're physically sick. Sometimes we need to encourage our fellow brothers and sisters, hey, have a seat. And I'm going to come stand by you. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to worship with you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to help worship and say, hey, God's faithful. I'm going to speak to you and remind that God has done this in your life or that in your life. Or, hey, this week, God, you know, help me with my rent or my car insurance or food on my table or got that job I needed. We can encourage one another with our testimony. And we can say, hey, you know what? God's done all this. And, man, we can worship God. Even if we just have our hands here, if this is all the energy we have, we can help one another lift our hands up this high or maybe this high or this high or all the way up. Does that make sense? Aaron and Hur had Moses sit down, and they stood beside him, and they helped hold his hands up. Now think about that. Moses was said, I'm going to hold my hands up. Moses was called to lift up his hands. But Moses fell in his own strength, and his brothers in the Lord helped him. And as we end on this today, I want to remind us, as we go through the season of worship, as we go through the season of welcoming Christ, I want to remind us that we are called to help one another. Think about the Magi when they came in that opening verse, Matthew 2, when they came and they said, where is this Jesus born, King of the Jews? What would have happened along the way? We could only imagine. Probably one of the Magi, one of the wise men probably said, man, my camel is being ornery. This camel ride's horrible. Why are we going through the desert? Man, we are lost. He probably said to one of them, hey, you took the wrong directions. I mean, we're now in northern, you know, Persia. Where are we going? I'm going back home. But we can only imagine the Magi say, hey, no. Stay the course. They lifted each other's hands. They said, no, we saw his star in the east. We saw it rise up. We know this is something that we need to follow. And we can only doubt, right? It's not in Scripture. We can only assume, just like us today. They encouraged one another to stay the course, and they followed the star until they found the baby Jesus. And what happened when they found him? What did they do? Well, you guys know it. They worshiped. They presented gifts. But more importantly, they said, we have come to worship the King of the Jews. And here in this story, even the Old Testament, it relates to the new, it relates to Jesus' birth, that we need to encourage one another and to say, hey, stay the course, worship Jesus, lift up your holy hands, and remember that he is with you. And so lifted hands throughout history has symbolized two things, either victory or surrender. Victory or surrender, right? Victory, we won the war, woo! I remember my grandparents telling me stories of World War II, when World War II was over, victory in Europe, victory in Japan. And I remember them saying, people lifted their hands, they clapped, and they were celebrating. The war was over. But also, in the Christian life, lifting our hands shows signs of surrender. In the Christian life, we get to raise our hands in victory and also lift up our hands in surrender and say, Lord, I need you, and I surrender to your call and to who you are. And so here's two questions I want to end with is this. Who needs to lift your hands to worship God for all he's done in your life? Some of us are holding back our worship. Even in times of hard times, we are called to lift up our hands and praise God. Doesn't make it easy, doesn't make it just something, doesn't make it always feel good, but we are called to worship God in those times. Secondly, who needs to lift your hands and surrender to God's plan for your life? Are you here today? Maybe God's calling you to do something or to try a new path or to talk to that person or start a new job, or maybe it's to surrender your life to God for the first time, or maybe it's to truly surrender your life to him. Remember, our hands lifted up can be praise him and thankfulness, but also can be hands of surrender and say, God, I need you. God, I need to trust you as my Lord and Savior. I need to stop running, and today I need to follow you. We all probably know someone who needs to lift up their hands and surrender to Jesus today. Maybe it's that maybe you have a son or a daughter, a spouse. Maybe it's a loved one, an aunt or uncle, a grandchild. Maybe it's a coworker here that you know that needs to find Jesus. We need to pray today that they would surrender, lift their hands in surrender to him. And so with that, let's close, let's pray. And I want to encourage us right now, take a moment, and as it said in Psalms, you know, search my heart, God. See if there's any wicked way in me. Clean my hands. Doesn't mean you've walked away from God, but it just means, but God, once again, God, we come before you. And God, we search our hearts. God, as we lift our hands today, lift up a holy hands. God, we want to make sure that our hands are striving to be clean before you. God, we come before you, God, and we lift up the praise that only your name is due, that only your name is allowed, God, to be praised. No other name underneath heaven can we be saved. Only under the name of Jesus, that precious name. And so, God, as we end today, God, we praise your name, Jesus. We call upon your name in this moment. And I just encourage you, church, call on his name out loud or in your mind and your heart. call on his name and say, Jesus, and in whatever way, God, we praise you. We say thank you for all that you've done. We say thank you for sending your son to save us, to redeem us, to give us a hope and a future, to renew us and to take away all the sin in our life. God, we also, God, we lift up our hands and surrender to you today. And God, we dedicate our lives from this moment. God, we dedicate ourselves again. We say, God, we're all in for you. We're 100% for you, Jesus. Help us today, God, to live our lives for you, to surrender our plans. God, we take our plans, even for today, even for this month of December, God, we take our plans and we lay it down before you. And we say, God, we surrender our lives to you. God, we surrender our vocations, our family, our bank accounts, God, our plans for today, our plans for tomorrow. God, we lay them down to you. God, we lay down our talents and our giftings that you have, our talents that we use with our hands to work with. God, we lay all those down. We say thank you. And God, we ask that you to guide us in those gifts and talents, in those talents of treasure and our plans for our life. God, we give you our minds, we give you our speech. God, we give you our eyes, what we see, our ears, what we listen to. We surrender it to you today, Jesus. And we say, help us, God, to be fully in for you, to be fully surrendered. God, we